Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wendy's Big Show continues here on The Fan in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Dan Plucker, our executive producer. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola filling in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We are efforting Ross Tucker, our Radio.com Sports NFL insider, supposed to be joining us here anytime now. But, you know, Ross is a really busy guy, and he does pretty much everything these days. I mean, and he's a really good follow on Twitter as well. And it looks like we got him now. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline and all insider calls here on The Fan are brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series, available on radio.com/Dell. Welcome in, friend of the show, Ross Tucker. Ross, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys? I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So, we have like a million things to ask you, Ross. I'm just going to start off by this. I don't know if you saw ESPN's rankings that they put together after asking all these different executives and scouts about who their top 10 players were heading into the season. Are you surprised Aaron Jones isn't a top 10 running back according to the list?
You know, I got to pull it up again and look at it off the top of my head. Yes.
I've got the list for you.
Give him the list, Joe.
I got the list. So here's what we got. Number one, Saquon Barkley. Two, Christian McCaffrey. Three, Zeke Elliott. Alvin Kamara at four. Derrick Henry at five. Dalvin Cook at six. Nick Chubb comes in at seven. Joe Mixon, eight. Josh Jacobs, nine. And Le'Veon Bell rounds out the top ten.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Jones in the mix with those guys. Hearing that, I'd probably have him around 9 or 10. I'd have him above Jacobs or Le'Veon Bell. And I think from about 5 to 8, you know, it, to me it's like 6 in one hand, half dozen the other, from like 5 to 8. So that's the one where, you know, I can see why they have Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook ahead of him, but if it was flipped the other way, I don't think people would freak out. You know, like, to stand out to me, I think Nick Chubb is really, really good. So him at seven makes it such that I don't know that, you know, people should be in uproar about Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones should be in the top 10. I think he should probably be 8, 9, or 10. I don't think he's better than Nick Chubb. So I'd probably have him 8, 9, or 10 based on that. I would have Derrick Henry lower because he doesn't do much for me in the passing game. And probably have guys like Aaron Jones and even Nick Chubb ahead of him.
Also, Ross, you look at the Ivy League come out maybe a couple of days ago. They're always ahead of the curve saying no fall sports at all this year. What do you think went into that decision? Then you look at what happened with the Big Ten, these other conferences yesterday, saying they will probably only play within their conference.
Well, I'll start with the Ivy League, Gary, and I'm not surprised. You know, they are always going to do whatever the spectrum is of risk to caution. They're always going to be the furthest conference to the caution side, right? Their reputation is based on their academics. They know that. And I think they almost on some level take pride in that, right? That they will be the safest, and it's like their little way of saying, yeah, we've got good athletes, but academics are still the priority here. That's why we're the Ivy League, blah, blah, blah. You guys know I played at Princeton, played in the Ivy League, so I know it well. So I get it. The one thing I would caution people on, even though it's not the big money maker like it is in the Big Ten or the SEC, it's still a pretty big deal in the sense that, you know, when Princeton plays Harvard or Yale, that's the most alums they get back on campus. They have all kinds of different events that are surrounding those things for donations. So while it's not 80,000 people all paying all that money, there are some financial considerations, especially when it comes to donations and alumni events. As for the Big Ten, I think that they're in a tough spot. I think all of college football is in a tough spot now, because if you are the Big Ten commissioner or the ADs, what's the argument now when someone says, hey, the Ivy League canceled the season, or at least postponed till the spring, out of an abundance of caution, even though, by the way, you don't even have to fly to any of the games. You just drive from, you know, Harvard to Yale or Yale to Princeton. Why aren't you guys postponing the season? And the answer is really money, but they can't really come out and say that, right? I mean, I think the Ivy League has put these other conferences in a pretty tough spot.
Yeah, Ross, I wanted to ask you this. Last time we had you on, when you said that was one of your pickup lines about telling your young lady from Princeton, that was hilarious. Why don't more athletes from the HBCU or the Ivy League or get more opportunities in professional sports? What's the issue with that? Because a young man, Maker, he's going to go to, I think, Howard, one of the HBCUs. He signed with... Yeah, and he's a great player, but he wants to see more players, you know, go to HBCUs and more. And then if you go to, like, your school, Princeton or Harvard, or, and you're a great player, why don't the top recruiters in the NBA or the NFL scouts, why don't they scout those schools more for talent?
It's interesting because they are doing it more than they ever did before. I mean, when I came out, so nobody from Princeton had even gotten in a camp from 93 to 2001, other than, you know, Keith Elias was in the NFL for a while as a special teamer until I came out. Now, I think last year there was five or six Princeton guys, the double-digit Harvard guys. You think about, like, Juszczyk and the you know, fullback for the Niners and Ryan Fitzpatrick. There are more Ivy League guys in the NFL than any other FCS, you know, the one old 1AA conference. And it's because they're recruiting so well right now. The financial aid is so good that kids that have Power 5 scholarships, you know, depending on how much money their parents make, they can go to these Princeton or Harvard for very little money, or in some cases none, and they're saying that's worth it. So it's actually better than it's ever been, and because of that, more guys are getting opportunities than they ever have. The issue, though, is, like, if I'm just being real, right? I'm glad I went to Princeton. It was great, but if Stanford offered me a full ride, I wouldn't have gone to Princeton. If Northwestern offered me a full ride. In other words, like the guys that are Duke, you know, Vanderbilt, the guys that are academically oriented, if you're the best of those guys are usually going to go to one of the Power Five schools that have really good academics. And, oh, by the way, you get to go to school for free and play in front of 100,000 people and play against Clemson and FSU, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of those guys end up, you know, the best of the best at that level go to the Stanford, Northwestern, Duke types of schools.
And, oh, by the way, while we talk about those types of schools, a lot of people were, I guess, a little disappointed because the Big Ten said they're only going to play, and they're not going to play non-conference.
In the conference.
Yeah,
right.
But Wisconsin had a key matchup this year with Notre Dame. So what does that leave Notre Dame with their schedule if everybody's going to bail on them and stay within their conference?
So I guess the ACC is going to try to take care of them. They already have a bunch of ACC games on the schedule because they're ACC for all of the other sports. And so the ACC highly values their relationship with Notre Dame. And, you know, part of their deal of being in the ACC is I think they have to play four or five ACC games a year. Right. I think what they'll do is they'll try to pick up, if Notre Dame loses the rest of those games, they'll try to give Notre Dame five or six more games in the ACC if it comes to that, and they'll probably love it. You know, I mean, the ACC, we get every week we get Notre Dame against going against one of our schools in a nationally televised game on NBC or whatever. So I think that's what will happen is Notre Dame will essentially play an all-conference ACC schedule. But what's weird about that is, like, they're not really in the conference for football, so they can't win it. So, like, they go undefeated, and they're like, hey, congrats, you beat all of us, but you're not in the conference, so you win nothing. And you're like, what is weird is, like, are they going to have the bowl games? Are they going to have college football playoff? Like, how do you know who the best team is for college football playoff if there's been no non-conference games? If they've only played against themselves? Maybe the conference just stinks that year.
And I think that's how you rate how good the conference is. Because the SEC said if we have somebody win this, everybody, you know, in their mind think that's the best conference. But the Big Ten would disagree with that. But, Ross, I want to ask you a question because your name came up in the barbershop, whether you know it or not. This was actually last year because I heard this problem may come up before the coronavirus hit. And it was that what if the owners to get the CBA done, which they got done, if they came back and said what they did say, we want to put 35% of the salaries in an escrow just in case for some fall off here or there. And I said, man, you know what? I would love for a guy like Ross Tucker, who's very smart, and a very measured guy, and a guy like Troy Vincent get together and just kind of talk about what you think can happen. So if they do that, do you think it'll be you don't think it'll be a work stoppage over, but how do they get that on the same page? Because we're going to ask Andrew Brandt about that. How did they get this on the same page with this money?
Yeah, so here's the deal, right? The NFL is in a very different position than baseball because the NFL, as you guys know, already has a revenue-sharing agreement.
Exactly.
So if they lose $4 billion this year because there's no fans, the players are going to feel that pain. I mean, they're going to feel that pain because – the salary cap's not going to go up as much as it's supposed to next year. And in fact, if they lose as much money as some people are projecting this year, what happens is they'll just smooth the cap out over the next 10 years as opposed to what it's supposed to. I mean, it's been going up about $10 million a year. Instead, it might just go up, you know, $2 million a year or, you know, $1 million a year, whatever it is. They'll smooth it out over the course of the deal. I think what the owners are asking for with this 35% escrow is, hey, let's put this in escrow and we'll see how bad the season is, how much money we lose, and then we can sort of take the pain of what happens this year now as opposed to smoothing it out. Players don't really have an interest in that. I don't blame them. They'd rather smooth out the cap and not have the same type of gains in future years then allow the owners to potentially, you know, use that 35% this year to offset the loss of revenue. And really, so the question to me, too, is it just offsetting the loss of revenue, or do they want the players to have to help out with some of the costs of the testing and all the costs, the increased costs they're going to be a part of this season, which to me, that's the part I laugh at, because the players don't participate when the franchise values skyrocket every year. People say, well, the owners deserve that. The owners are taking the risk. Look, I get it. I got a couple small businesses. I totally, totally get it. But then the flip side is true. When people say they're the ones taking all the risk. Well, I got news for you, bro. This is the risk. Welcome to the risk. It's a virus. It's a pandemic.
Right.
You're going to have to pay for all the testing for the guys this year. That's part of what goes along with owning a business. You take into account the risk that happens, and so they're going to have to eat it this year. But that's, you know, they get it on the other end when they can sell their franchise for $4 billion when they bought it for $300 million like 12 years ago.
So it's good if Patrick Mahomes signed this deal this year, the next year then, because he can go up this year's numbers at the front of it. But if those numbers change in the future, then they can adjust it a little bit. His contract's kind of weird, though, some of the language. But a smart guy like you know it. But how would that cap in the future, if it goes down because it, maybe we can't have fans next year and the cap goes down a little bit. But although they're supposed to put money in it, but if there's no fans, how do they adjust that?
Well, right. So what they do is, you know, they just what they call smooth it out over time, so that, 'cause to try to account for all the money that they lost. I'm really surprised that the Mahomes deal came through. Yeah. I think that the Chiefs wanted to kind of, I don't want to say capitalize, but with the uncertainty, I think that they wanted to say, hey, we'll give you this deal right now. You know, I know a lot of people, and Andrew Brandt's one of them, and whatever, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, that they'll say he should have just waited, and then he could have been a franchise tag for 1 year, franchise tag again, then he's a free agent. You know, that always makes me laugh, because it's always the people that aren't actually out there inside the white lines getting hit that want you to just go year to year like that. Like, hey, that sounds sweet, except the year I was going to be a free agent, I started 13 games, I had a herniated disc in my back, and I had to have surgery after the season, right? Or later in my career, it'd be great if I did year to year, except when I herniated disc in my neck and bruised my spinal cord on the wedge against the Ravens. You know what people are not looking for? To give big contracts to a dude with a bruised spinal cord, okay? So that always makes me laugh. When just do it year to year. Oh, year to year. Yeah, right. Yeah. So what he didn't want is I don't think Mahomes wanted to have to do the franchise tag thing and have it hanging over his head like Cousins did or Dak has. I just don't think he wanted that. You know, he wanted a lot of money. He's getting a lot of money. He wanted to know he's going to be in Kansas City. He wanted to let the Chiefs be able to plan around him because they know how much money he is each year forever. And by the way, here's the other argument, guys. Everybody keeps saying it's a good deal for the Chiefs, great deal for the Chiefs. Well, if it's a great deal for the Chiefs, then they're probably not going to cut him, right? So if they're not going to cut him, then he's going to get $477 million for 12 years. That's pretty good. I think it's a good deal for Mahomes. And, oh, by the way, let's just say they do. Let's say they do cut him after 5 years or 7 years. Well, then that's what everybody wanted, right? Everybody said, oh, take a shorter deal. He should only take like a five-year deal. Well, if they cut him,
there you
go. It's the same difference. And he's a free agent, whichever they want him to be in the first place.
Right.
Yes.
He is Ross.
I got one more, Ross.
You should be commissioner.
Well, he should be. Ross, last one. Best guess. Best guess, Ross, because we all don't know. Maybe you have more insight.
Well, Ross knows. Trust me, he knows.
Best guess, Ross. Will we have college football this year?
No, I don't think so. No, I feel pretty good about the NFL. I think it's an easy argument to make that these are paid professionals. It's their livelihood, and they're willing to take that risk because of the money that it generates for their families. I would take the risk. I'm guessing you guys would as well.
Yep.
The argument falls apart when you're talking about college student athletes. I mean, I live in Pennsylvania. I literally saw today Micah Parsons, who's a projected top five pick. He's Penn State's best player. He's awesome linebacker and their safety. They both tweeted, you know, well, we're the ones taking the risk. Shouldn't we be getting some money, the money that comes from this? I just think it becomes, because here's the deal. It's not like those guys are going to lose their scholarships. So what are they really playing for? I mean, they're playing just to play. And there's a lot of guys that would do it because they love football and they want to play or whatever. But it just becomes a really tough argument for the ADs to make, for the conference commissioners to make. And you might, I mean, look, you're going to have some NFL guys that opt out because they don't think it's worth it. Like we've seen in baseball and the NBA, and that's totally their right to do. I mean, and these are guys getting a lot of money to play. So if you can opt out like that, you're going to have college kids that are opt out and be like, hey, if I get to keep my scholarship and not have to play, and, you know, because even forget like going out there with the virus, you know, it's like you're getting paid to play an NFL season without having to get wear and tear on your body or get beat up. So it just becomes a really, really difficult argument to have college kids out there. The thing that's funny to me is, like, they don't really want to be flying the field hockey team all over the place and all these other small sports.
They can't come out and say,
yeah, no fall sports, island football, we need the money. I mean, it's a wrong argument. Look, you guys want to make me Big Ten commissioner? I'll make the argument, but it's a bad one. I'm just telling you, it's not a good one. I'd much rather be on the other side of that bad boy.
Yeah, crazy stuff. He is Ross Tucker, our Radio.com sports NFL insider, friend of the show. Always a pleasure, Ross. Thank you so much, and have a good weekend.
All right, see you, dudes.
All right, and Ross joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. And all insiders, Radio.com insiders, brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference podcast series, available on Radio.com/Dell. Yeah, that Radio.com app is free. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, you heard what Ross Tucker had to say there. He doesn't think a college football season is going to happen this year. Do you? Wendy's Big Show continues right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.